Hello, this is Donna Reed reading to you this morning, August 15th, from the Rantoul Press for the week of August 14th. Let's look at some stories from the front page. Community encouraged to welcome Rantoul High School students. Rantoul Township High School students will receive a welcome to school next Monday. School officials are encouraging the community to be present in front of the school to welcome kids and encourage them, President Todd Wilson said. This Friday is the first day freshmen will be present. Monday, however, is the first day for all four grades to be present. Wilson said Army recruiters, as well as local police and fire departments, and other members of the community have been asked to have people on hand. I think it's important that the kids see the community is behind them, Wilson said. This marks the first such event at Rantoul High School. Residents are asked to be present at 7:45 a.m. Water mains are being flushed in Fisher, Illinois. Illinois American Water crews will be flushing water mains and fire hydrants in Fisher. The work was to begin Tuesday, August 13th, and continue through the week as part of the company's annual maintenance program. The flushing sends a rapid flow of water through the water mains and hydrants. The hydrants are also checked and operated. No interruptions in water service will occur. When flushing takes place, customers may experience a temporary drop in water pressure or draw some discolored water for a short time. Fisher residents object to facility proposal. The Fisher Village Board adjourned its regular meeting to August 19th to vote whether to amend its liquor ordinance to allow for a pour-only license. The proposed amendment would allow Brandon Chandler to open a laundromat but also install video gaming machines in a walled-off portion of a building he owns on the main business district block that used to be part of Ingold's Grocery. Most of the approximately 35 residents attending the meeting urged the board not to do so. Robin Kirk collected 130 signatures on a petition urging the same. She quit collecting when she said she was told by at least three people that she was wasting her time, that it was a done deal, that trustees would vote for the new license no matter what. She told the board she hoped that wasn't true, and that residents would be listened to and the board would do what was in Fisher's best interests. Karen Phelps questioned if some of the board members should recuse themselves from the vote because of what she considered a conflict of interest. She said it is a matter of public record that Chandler has borrowed $500,000 from the Fisher National Bank. She noted that Trustee Angie Seidelman is vice president of lending there, and that Trustee Deb Estes is married to the president of the bank, and Mayor Mile Baylor is married to the vice president. Baylor said in his time on the board he has never given a thought to voting on something with the bank in mind. He also told Kirk there is no preconceived outcome of the vote. Chandler rebutted most of those who spoke against the laundromat gaming parlor. He said people don't have to patronize the place with their children, and that the same people probably take their children into the restaurant in town that has gaming machines. He said that was hypocritical. He also said there will be no more gaming machines in town than there were 6 months ago. Another restaurant that had five machines has closed. But most of those who spoke said they believe the issue should be placed before residents in a referendum. John Harrison was one. He said the benefit of village venue from the machines would be outweighed by the bad of the gambling targeting those who can least afford it, the ones who don't have their own washers and dryers. And Jim McCoy said he was confused. He reminded the board he had approached it in 2016 about putting in a parlor out on Division Street, US 136. I was told it would be a bad idea because the kids would pass by it on their way to school. Now the kids are going to be inside with the machines. I'm confused, McCoy said. He said he might make it better were Chandler to create two separate businesses. And Beaky Riley said she would like to see an official business plan from Chandler, not just pictorial representations of what it would look like. I don't think this is family-friendly, Riley said. Chandler plans for the gaming machines to be partitioned off. On the other side, the laundromat, he would install two commercial washers and dryers and two regular washers and dryers. He's not sure what the hours would be. But an attendant/bartender would always be on site. Chandler has said he can't make the operation work financially without the video gambling machines. In a straw poll last month, the majority of trustees favored creating a new pour-only license classification that would like to include a stipulation in the license that Chandler must continue to operate the laundromat portion of the facility in order to maintain the liquor license. Seidelman was not at last week's meeting. Trustee Dan Spalding is deployed to Afghanistan with the U.S. Army, scheduled to return in September. Residents complain about condition of residential property, swimming pool plants. Complaints about the condition of a neighbor's house and the grounds at Hap Parker Family Aquatic Center were expressed at last week's Rantoul Village Board study session. Tyler Wilson, 1116 Inglewood Drive, said the property next door to him at 1112 went to seed a long time ago, and the village is doing nothing about it. Deborah Rawlings, a frequent user of the swimming pool, laments how the plant life bordering the area has not been properly maintained. Wilson said the neighboring house is abandoned. The owner lives in Ohio, and because of that, the village refuses to do anything about it. He urged all trustees and city staff to look up the public ordinance subsection that deals with properties that endanger the public health and cause inconvenience, discomfort, or blight to the neighborhood. Wilson said he daily files a written complaint with village code enforcement officials. Nothing has been done to hold this property owner accountable, said Wilson, who noted he has an 11-year-old son with whom he plays catch and basketball outdoors and has seen the yard mowed only once this year. The gutters are full. There's a hole in the side of the garage you could drive your car through. There are numerous raccoons, possums, skunks, snakes, mice, feral cats, and who knows what else going in and out of this property, and nothing is being done. Wilson said the bushes have never been trimmed in the 4 years he has lived next door. The gutters are full of debris and in the wet times breed mosquitoes due to the fact that they do not properly function. There are piles of brush in the backyard, and now a tree has fallen in the backyard as well. Wilson said village ordinance indicates the village can charge the owner of the property found in violation $75 to $750 per day, which he said amounts to more than $27,000. Wilson said he has been told by numerous residents and village employees this fight is uncalled for. You don't have to live next door to it. I do, he said. The village's legal team needs to do its job. If you lived next to this, would it have already been cleaned up? If your kids had to grow up next to this, would it have been cleaned up? I think it would have. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said there is a legal process the village has to follow before it can mow the property. We are in the midst of that legal process at this time, Eisenhower said. And here's a bit of information about the swimming pool landscaping there. Rawlings, who said she swims regularly at the pool, decried the village letting the plantings around the pool go downhill. It's such a peaceful and beautiful place to swim, Rawlings said, but it is not as beautiful as it used to be. She said grass has grown through the mulch, volunteer trees have penetrated decorative grasses, sections of the post and rope fence have rotted or have been removed and never replaced. Some of the plantings are gone entirely, she said. The daylilies need to be divided. The grasses are probably also ready for dividing. One clump of grasses is dead. But worst of all, bindweed is choking plantings all along the west side of the pool. Rawlings said bindweed is a highly invasive plant that can send roots 20 feet below ground, and said the only effective way to deal with it is an herbicide. She said she was told a landscaping company previously performed landscaping maintenance at the pool, but it is now being turned over to the pool staff. If that is true, she said, that is not the job of a pool staff because it is time-consuming and it requires specialized knowledge and a license to apply the herbicides. At the least, she said, the bindweed should be controlled. Rawlings presented two requests. One is that each trustee, the mayor and administrator, visit the aquatic center to view the landscaping and compare it to when it was first opened, and to ask themselves if they would be satisfied with this type of landscaping at their own homes. The second is that a plan be developed to restore the landscaping to its original beauty and that a preliminary plan be made public within 30 days. A budget cut is not a plan, Rawlings said. A budget cut is a reaction. It seems to me that when the village collects taxpayer funds to build such a facility, that there is an implied contract with the community to maintain that facility at a minimum to the standards to which the facility was built. I'm a gardener. A landscape is a living thing, and you are letting it die. Thomasboro to feel out development proposal. The Thomasboro Village Board will hold preliminary discussions about the annexation of and utility extension to a parcel of land on the east side of U.S. 45. The board voted at its August meeting to conduct the discussions. Trustee Tony Grillo said Overland Development Group, an out-of-state company, had approached the village about building on the northeast corner of U.S. 45 and Flatville Road. How promising is it? Trustee Rhonda Scott asked. Grillo said at this point he thinks it is almost certain building will go forward. He wanted to hold preliminary discussions with engineers and village attorney Jason Bartell to ensure the board takes the appropriate steps. He asked for approval to do so to make sure the board is in on the same page. The four trustees voted on the motion were Grillo, Scott, Rhodes, and newly sworn-in trustee Robert Pinsky. Trustees Trent Sage and John Curry were absent. Pinsky replaces trustee Kyle Henninger, who resigned because he is moving out of the village. His resignation was effective July 29th. Pinsky, a contract driver for FedEx, has been a Thomasboro resident for 15 years. Frustrated with Sheriff's Office. Residents are frustrated with a lack of response from the Champaign County Sheriff's Department. Thomasboro has its own police department, but is not big enough to provide round-the-clock coverage. Resident Robert Deere is concerned about motorists ignoring a stop sign at the intersection of Michael and Bradley Streets. There are a lot of kids down there now. They know there's no cop in town. They're flying through there. They think it's a joke, he said. It's not a joke. Somebody's going to get hurt. He said he was told by Metcad dispatchers that deputies could not be dispatched to Thomasboro if the call was not an emergency. Other residents said they had been given the same response once in response to a possible break-in. That's not a protocol call with the Thomasboro Police, Interim Police Chief Mike Martinez said. He said he had talked with the dispatchers a month ago and that there seems to be some confusion about responding to Thomasboro calls. We're going to have to follow up with that, Mayor Tyler Evans said. Martinez said that in July, MetCAD received 66 calls from Thomasboro residents. 40 were handled by sheriff's deputies and 26 by Thomasboro Police Department. Martinez also said one of the officers will begin contacting residents about ordinance violations using a list compiled by the Housing Committee. Residents at the meeting voiced complaints about several ordinance violations, including inoperable vehicles and an improperly parked semi. Possible marijuana discussion. Resident Jim Richardson asked the board to hold discussions about marijuana dispensaries. He would like to see them banned in the village. Recreational marijuana will be legal in Illinois next year. Evans said he thinks that discussion is premature. The board also approved a resolution closing out an Illinois Department of Transportation project dating back to 2008-2009. It was also noted in the meeting that office manager Deanne Watches has resigned her position. Let's turn now to some obituaries as we look this morning at the Rantoul Press this August 15th. Obituary for Leroy Hensley. Leroy O. Hensley, 96, of Rantoul, died at 12:55 a.m. Monday, August 12th at Country Health Nursing Home, Gifford. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, August 16th at Beyer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pells Street, Paxton, with Masonic rites at 11 a.m. Burial will follow in Maplewood Cemetery, Rantoul, with military honors by a Rantoul American Legion Post 287. Marjorie Black. Marjorie Barnett Black of Rantoul, known to many as Marge or Margie, passed away peacefully with family at her side on August 10, 2019. Services celebrating her life will be conducted at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 17, at Templeton Funeral Home in Paris. Burial will follow in Holt Cemetery near Chrisman, Illinois. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday at Templeton Funeral Home in Paris. Richard Isington. Richard Isington, 67, of Paxton, formerly of Champaign, died at 7:48 p.m. Sunday, August 11th, at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living. A memorial service for the Army veteran will be scheduled at a later date. Gerald Hempel. Gerald Hempel, 67, of Huffman, Texas, formerly of Paxton, died Tuesday, August 6th at home. Funeral services will be at noon Saturday, August 17th at Beyer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street, Paxton. The Reverend Timothy Hahn will officiate. Burial will be in Glen Cemetery, Paxton, with military rites for the Army veteran by Paxton American Legion Prairie Post 150. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Saturday at the funeral. Terry Christensen. Terry Chico Dennis Christensen, 68, of the Villages, Florida, father of two Paxton residents, died Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. No further details are given at this time. Eleanor McDonald. Eleanor McDonald, 91, of Rantoul, died Wednesday, August 7th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton due to complications of dementia. Following cremation, no public services are scheduled. Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul, is in charge of arrangements. Let's continue with some local news from the Rantoul Press this August 15th. Here's a story out of Akron, Indiana. Road warrior, Indiana man to drive tractor to half-century farm show. There's a picture here of a red and white, actually it's red, white, and blue, big tires, an old-time tractor, the man standing beside the back tractor tire. My goodness, the tire is as big as he is. Richard Norman will point his Farmel 560 diesel southwest toward Rantoul next week and drive the approximately 170 miles to Rantoul's mammoth Half Century of Progress farm show in one day. Piece of cake. To Norman, traveling to farm shows on his tractor is about as easy as driving in a car. It just takes a little longer. But he likes the benefits. I enjoy seeing the country more that way, said Norman, who tools along the mostly country roads at about 20 miles per hour. It's mainly seeing the different scenery. It's a slower pace to see the country. There's more time to look around. You see some antique machinery behind a barn. You look at the crops. One thing he has seen all over is fields that have not been planted because of the spring's unusually heavy rains. Norman said Wisconsin is the most scenic state to drive through. I just did a tractor drive last weekend, said Norman. They have the best scenery in Wisconsin. It's not like Ohio, he said, which is kind of boring scenery because it's so flat over there. He can't think Illinois is much better, but that's where he'll be headed when the Half Century Show is held August 22nd through the 25th on the grounds of the Rantoul National Aviation Center. While most owners of vintage farm equipment haul theirs on trailers, Norman, a 65-year-old retired farmer, has logged about 3,000 miles on his farmel, which he never used for farming. We grew up with Massey Harris and Massey Ferguson, he said. It's been to Wisconsin 3 times, Illinois twice. I'm headed to Wisconsin this week for another 4-day drive. Norman has crossed the Mackinac Bridge, which connects Michigan to its upper peninsula, 3 times as part of a tractor event. It's a sight to see all those tractors in the staging area, he said. You have to join a Michigan tractor club for insurance purposes to take part. The farthest Norman has driven in one day is 187 miles. He also regularly visits a farm equipment show that is part of the Covered Bridge Festival in Rockville, Indiana. A custom-made aluminum top keeps the sun off, and the rain too, if it's not pouring. Norman's 560, built in 1959, is named the Redneck Cruiser and features red, white, and blue wheels with flags honoring the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. It comes from a dairy farm, he said. I've been through the engine and done some work to it. It's not a perfect paint job. I had a school teacher who paints tractors painted in the summer of 2017. Norman is a big fan of diesel engines. The biggest thing about diesel is they break better going downhill. They're also better on fuel economy, Norman said. They are a little bit noisier, however. Norman plans to get up early to begin the trip next Wednesday from his farm that lies about 100 miles north of Indianapolis. He figures the Rantoul trip will take about 10 hours. Norman will be on hand for the first day of the show the following day and has signed up to be part of the morning's tractor drive. It will be his first time back to the Rantoul show in 6 years. The last visit didn't go particularly well on the day he was there. It rained all day, and visitors got to see virtually no work done in the fields. I remember Max Armstrong's 560 died in the parade. It was so wet, Norman said. The Half Century Show, held every other year, celebrates farming's past and draws thousands of people to Rantoul. More than 100 vintage tractors are expected to take part in the tractor drive to kick off the show. The tractor drive, led by Armstrong, will leave the former Chanute Air Force Base grounds at 8 a.m. and return about 1 p.m. The route usually extends to the Royal area and will likely head by Cotman Cemetery, where show co-founder Darius Harms is buried. The ride generally features about every brand of tractor. Some riders come as far away as Colorado to take part. This will mark the 9th Half Century Show, which is coordinated by the I&I Antique Tractor and Gas Engine Club. Norman will head back to Indiana on August 24th. Driver in train wreck to serve home detention. a Rantua woman who admitted driving while drunk, resulting in a collision with a train that injured her and her son, has been sentenced to 30 months of probation and 180 days in jail. However, Ashley Davis, 30, will have to serve only 30 days on electronic home detention starting next week, and the rest of the jail sentence will be held in remission while she continues in treatment and counseling for the issues underlying the drinking that led to her conviction. Judge Adam Dill said he will decide in September if Davis will have to serve the balance of her jail sentence for aggravated DUI. In a 90-minute hearing Friday, the fourth time for Davis to be in court to be sentenced, Dill was still asking lawyers and even Davis what they believed happened on May 19, 2018, and why it happened. The facts presented at Davis's guilty plea in late January were that she was driving on a dimly lit county road, 800 East near 560 North, in Tolona Township, about 11:30 p.m. that Saturday, having left a party after drinking. Her one-year-old son was in a car seat in the back. Davis apparently crossed railroad tracks, inadvertently left the road, and got stuck on or near the tracks when she tried to turn around. After being stuck for what Davis said was about 45 minutes, her vehicle was hit by an eastbound train and pushed about a mile before flipping over several times and landing in a field. Between getting stuck and being hit, she was calling the friend she had just left to try to help her, not realizing where she was. A friend called 911. Former Tolono police officer Charles Frost testified he had been looking for the vehicle when he heard a radio dispatch of a car being hit by a train between County Roads 900 and 1000 East. Frost said he first located the train conductor, who believed he had hit an unoccupied vehicle. Later, Frost found the heavily damaged Chevrolet Equinox on its passenger side, heard a screaming baby, and saw a bloodied Davis on the floorboard, unresponsive. Seeing the baby hanging upside down from his car seat, Davis used a tool to punch out the window to rescue the baby, who had sustained a broken collarbone and cut his face. Dill had continued Davis's early sentencing hearing so that both Assistant State's Attorney Dan Reynolds and Davis's attorney, Assistant Public Defender Brittany McKnight, could gather additional evidence about the mechanics of the collision and try to shed light on Davis's mental state, given that she was suffering from postpartum depression. The judge expressed concern that she may have been suicidal, given the suggestion that the car was facing the oncoming train, but Davis told him Friday she was not and that she had no intention of harming herself or her son. McKnight had Patricia Ray, a substance abuse counselor who's been working with Davis since mid-May, testify Friday that Davis suffered from anxiety, depression, and PTSD, but has been working very hard to follow my recommendations. Ray said Davis, who had no prior record, was at a minimal risk to reoffend. Dill called Davis's case complicated and said the educated working mother apparently fell into a relationship with alcohol after the birth of her child that sparked her anxiety. While he still didn't accept her explanation of what happened that night, Dill called Davis tremendously driven and said that probation and home confinement were appropriate punishment. Well, that's it for reading of the Rantoul Press this week, ending up August 15th here. This is Donna Reed wishing you a great day and hoping to read with you again soon. Goodbye now.